sì.
What is recording on? On this or on this?
It also has this both. It has a 4 gig disk and then it has a flash drive.
Yeah.
But the mic I have pointed like this and like that. Abbiamo pensato a cominciare dal nostro punto del fine, perché forse altre persone hanno più domande, commenti, pensieri sull'inizio del nostro corso oggi. So, forse facciamo così, 40 minutes, 40 minuti, quasi 30-40 minuti per finire nostra conversazione e dopo cominciamo per vedere qualche cosa tutti hanno portato e parlare su queste cose. Forse facciamo un intervento con questo materiale. Va bene. Avete, I mean, it's the beginning might be a little awkward, but it's nice if you dive into the water.
It's like in the concert, there is the first that is coughing and the other ones will follow.
Just solo una domanda abbastanza banale, perché quando abbiamo visto il film in modo l'altro è uscita fuori questa la questione della soggettività, e mi chiedevo in che relazione sussiste proprio da un punto di vista tecnico la soggettività, la costruzione di una soggettività all'interno di quel film.
I was saying this morning, in a moment I was talking about the idea that I was saying the spectator, and I was adding immediately after, but I'm the first spectator. And using pre-existing material, the material pre-exists to what I will do with it. I imagine that the materials that I hope we will see after this preliminary discussions, this is the nature. I mean, they exist before we start to do with them whatsoever. And the construction of subjectivity would be the construction of the subjectivity of a spectator. It's not the construction of a maker, but a spectator. Mm-hmm. What I see, if you want, when I watch. What I do see in the material when I watch. Not what is the nature of the material, not is what the material is saying in an absolute, what I see in the material. What I saying with the material. So the construction of subjectivity, which come back, is the construction of the subjectivity of a spectator, which in fact you can say it's not really different than the relation to a situation within reality, because also in a situation within reality, documentary making and coming into a room, I'm coming into this workshop, and the two movements are I see and what I see when I look. Just think about these three words that exist in every language. In fact, in English there are four, but let's see about the word to see, to watch, and to observe. You have it in Italian, you have it in French. And those are time relations, right? I mean, I see it's just the ability that have every person that is not blind. We don't see blind anymore, we see visually challenged, right? Anyway, any person that is not blind can see, we see. And if we think about the idea of watch, it's already framing, and it's a different relation to time. And then I observe with the inside the moment that I watch. How you put outside the seeing or the looking, the watching, and in fact, what you are bringing forward as a mean of representation is the observation. My observation will be this subjective relation. So how it's done? One of the first questions in the specialist, I mean both in the specialist and in Aus Liebe zum Volk, or in I Love You specialist, is what is the point from where I view? Not only the point of view, the point from where I view. In Italian will be il
punto dal quale
punto di vista.
No, 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 il punto di vista.
Ma il punto dal quale, da dove io vedo.
Da dove io vedo. And clearly, I hope, in the specialist is from the point of view of a spectator, which is in the courtroom, which this courtroom is not a usual courtroom. It's a space of spectacle. It's the house of the people, la casa del popolo, which is auditorium. And I'm sitting, and I'm a spectator. I'm a spectator of, I will use Antonio's notion, of an event. Something is happening in front of me. To me, that I all the time I remember the fact that I'm a spectator. So the things are happening in front of me. If I'm a spectator, it means that I'm witnessing an event. If I bury and I bury witness in that moment, this is my subjectivity. So first of all, when I take the material, I'm looking at the material of the specialist. The material of the archive. It's not a theoretical relation. It's a, I'm questioning my status as an observer, meaning where I'm looking from at the material. And I'm looking from, not only from a position, physical position, which is a spectator, but I'm looking it from my biography, my history, my gender, and you can continue. I mean, all those elements are becoming conscience elements. They're not unconscious. I mean, if I will ask you, if you will allow me, after about your material, it said, where are you looking from at this material? Out of your, I don't know, community, citizenship, political relations, special relations, where are you looking at this material from? And the reconstruction of the film as an articulation it's all the time linked to the point from where I'm looking at the material. So first of all, I mean, of course, because the point of view, not the point from where I'm looking, the point of view was Arendt's point of view. Arendt is sitting in the courtroom, so I'm looking at the point of view of Arendt. Things are happening in front of me. So all the construction, this is what I said before about framing, all the construction, it's a current construction, which is everything is from the point of view. It means that the sound, for example, just to take an example, the sound is around me. There are spectators. In front of me, there is a dominant voice. In the center, I have the judges, and when Eichmann is speaking, I'm on the left. So I'm saying, okay, how I'm doing this? We have a technical device, which is called stereo and mono. The judges are speaking, I'm in mono, center mono. Eichmann and the witnesses are speaking, I'm in stereo. It's very kind of, I never start a film with saying, I will do this film in stereo. I will do this film in mono. I want an energetic editing. It comes from an attempt to reconstruct exactly the subjective relation. I don't know if I answered totally, but it was just a series of examples of what precedes as a thinking. I mean, this is what we are used to call all the time, you know, theory and practice, right? We like this idea, which is important, which is the most important. But it means that the relations, it's not just, I mean, yeah, here my shot will be cut here and it will be quickly here and I want this impression. I mean, first of all, it's the reconstruction of my very primary relation to the material. And it's important. It's not towards a spectator. It's not towards an imaginary spectator. I'm a spectator. When I'm sitting in editing room with material that I filmed, if I really filmed them myself, or it was my camera person that filmed it, I'm absolute conscious of the idea that at that moment in the editing room, I'm a spectator. I'm a spectator of something that passed in the past, which is, for example, my 4 shooting days or my month of shooting days. This limit of, which is the moment, it's not anymore my material. I'm not anymore in the shooting as I was before. I'm in a spectatorship relation. It's clear what I was saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's an answer, Antonio? If I take the film I Love You All, so somebody who can come and it will be right to say, well, this film in fact is Punish and Surveillance, or Surveillance and Punishment, how it's called in Italian, Sorvegliare e Punire, of Foucault. It's true, but it falls in the same time. It's true because this is part of my point of viewing. It's part of me. It's in my mind. I didn't take Surveillance and Punishment and try to make a visual essay out of it. It's not an illustration. It's not even a representation. But it's part of me, this text. So I'm asking, and I ask myself, and sometimes I'm giving it as an exercise to my student, what would have been a Foucauldian editing? What would have been a Foucauldian editing? What would be even a panopticon editing. How you create a film, and this I was interested in, I Love You All, we were with Audrey, my editor, that a film that you don't only watch it, but the film is watching you. That the film is watching you. When you come out of the film, and you say, where is the camera?
Something, I think in I Love You All it was not it,
parla in italiano.
Che la cosa interessante in I Love You All che è uscita fuori anche nella discussione che avevamo avuto è che non è necessario uscire dal film per chiedersi se ci sia una telecamera o meno, ma nel film stesso il fatto che comunque la soggettività o la figura che è al centro del film è una figura che guarda, cioè c'è una figura che guarda che è quella dell'ufficiale della Stasi, però allo stesso tempo i movimenti nel montaggio non sono assolutamente solo quelli dell'impersonificazione nell'ufficiale della Stasi, ma c'è un distacco dall'immagine stessa, cioè si arriva a un certo punto in cui si guarda o si guarda con gli occhi dell'ufficiale della Stasi, oppure ci si sposta e si guarda l'ufficiale della Stasi che guarda le immagini della città. Ed è uno spostamento, non c'è né solo l'una né solo l'altra posizione, ma è uno spostamento dalle due, da una all'altra.
Sì. This permanent uncomfort, uncertainty. The fact that the main question that is in the center between me or between you as a spectator and the screen is what's the hell what I'm looking at. What do I see in fact? I see what happens, I see the person, I see an event, I see archival material, I see a reconstruction. This permanent doubt. Not the certainty. Certainty of what is represented on the screen, this is exactly the fascist idea. Anti-fascism is doubt. You know, how you perform anti-fascism? The doubt. Where Roshenko is designing a line, 1905, first revolution, and they design a line on a paper, the graphic designer, Roshenko. And he says, the line is a form. No interpretation, no doubting. I mean, rebuilding from a very beginning on a white paper a line. And from that moment on, the line will become after what we will know. What we'll know after in 1919, it will be social realism graphic design. There is no possibility anymore for doubt. The erase of doubt, whatsoever, which is the main action of what we call television, that is built out of the idea that we see a sign, Venice, so we understand that the next image is in Venice, or we see the Eiffel Tower and it means that we are in Paris, that there is no space anymore for interpretation. It's the kidnapping of spectatorship. The doubt about the nature itself of what the image is about, it's the only counter-discourse possible in my eyes. I mean, I'm not kind of selling an ideology. I mean, I'm trying to explain with what I'm working. What Maria Giovanna said, those two permanent things. The uncertainty.
Another question, parlavi prima della tua diffidenza nei confronti dell'affetto, del fatto che preferivi parlare di impressione.
it to me in English. This was
like you were speaking about impression before, and then you said I prefer to use the word impression instead of affection.
I said in this morning I prefer the notion of impression and not the notion of affect or affection, you know, this Deleuzian idea of the affect. It's a very I think that it's fundamental, which is because I have I'm keen to insist on the notion, on the etymological idea of impression, which is the impression is what is inscribed, not at the immediacy, which keeps, which follows the time. When I'm not anymore in front of the image, in front of this event, I have the images, something is happening, they're in the archive, I'm seeing the thing, and there is something which is, there is this subscription in the mind, this impression, which means that already there is a movement of kind of interpretation. It's become minds. It's an act of appropriation. While the affection, it still keeps a distance from the appropriation. I think that the only way to work with a pre-existing material, and I said pre-existing material is also the material that we filmed that exists when we are in editing room, and it's when it becomes minds, which is, there is the impression. Not how I'm affected from it, but how I'm subscribed it in my mind. I'm working with the memory of my images. I'm not working with the images. I worked for the 13 last years with the same editor because I found a person that is ready to follow what for me is more important than the last step, which is the articulation of images, but the way to find always the way how to memorize my images. And this is what I'm doing all the time. I can show you, I have a bean of a new film that I'm doing, and all the thing is that I'm trying to find ways all the time to memorize the images. To have a subscription of it, all the time to memorize it. In the moment that I memorize those images, and they become mine, they become my images. It's not anymore the images of the State of Israel, or the images of Leo Horowitz, or the image of the Ajmendran. Those are my rushes. Those are my rushes. My raw material. The affection, the relation of affect, it's a relation to immediacy. And I have to keep it on time. The time of the editing, the time of the making, it's a larger time than the time of the affection. I'm affected by, within a moment, by the material. Well, the impression seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, but something which is more continuous.
We'll think about it for a minute.
Forse
può lasciarli
sì. Facciamo una pausa e nel questo pausa è possibile, va bene? Verso 4? Va bene? You want me to...
No, I thought it was a nice discussion between the two.
It's possible. I just
I'm sitting to a hard Delosian next to a hard Delosian.
No, because I'm system agnostic. You know, I take certain things that I think, and but in this course we have, you know, kind of taken up in some moment the discourse of Deleuze in terms of sensation and the logic of sensation, and you know, I'm just taking the time, just like I would like everybody to do, to just understand your relation to the image and how you work with it, and I don't want to end up in a kind of polemic that might not be really productive, because I find it, I want to just go with you for as far as you will take us, rather than start already.
No, I was thinking about the logic of sensation and the discussion that you had in this way. I thought it was interesting to just to introduce the thing, because like Leal was mentioning his relationship with images, and I thought it was a nice point of touch.
No, it yeah. I mean, I think if it comes up somehow, I will say more about it. But I'm still curious to, you know, not lose the time and also have you be more involved. So I prefer you guys speak more.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I would like you to speak, because I consider, I mean, you are makers. I there is no difference between us. I mean, I just have kind of 20 years experience, but that's all. That's all. No, it's a kind of a, it's an objective fact, that's all. But what I'm trying to say all the time is, I mean, kind of repeating, is that this the thinking while doing, that there is no primary and secondary relation. There is no primary and secondary relation. Right? It's a permanent relation. Sitting in editing room means also to question the idea of sitting in editing room. It's not only editing. It's why sitting in editing room? Why to participate in the permanent movement of production? How you can do a film, which is a film that also questions the notion of accumulation of image as a device that brings blindness. I'm talking about I Love You All, and at the same time produce more image. This is the relation. It's a permanent relation of thinking while doing. It's not I'm thinking and then I'm coming to editing room and I said, okay, now I stop thinking, now I'm doing. So I mean, questions don't have to be just kind of perfect articulations of ideas. I mean, there are no for me anyway. I mean, for me, just your questions help me to articulate. I mean, I didn't think about Antonio's question as such before. And technique and production and money and all this, it's not separated from the ideas. I mean,
la difficoltà che trovo nel
your question, your difficulty, in fact, which is mine, the same, brought me to a certain moment to decide to work with pre-existing material. But then I realized that it doesn't solve this question. And really, I'm saying seriously, the only reason that while I'm highly critical about the idea of production of images, that I continue, is through the illusion that one day I will get to a solution to this problem. I mean, instead of becoming a blockage, a frustration, it transforms into desire. You know, this relation of frustration and desire, right? Instead of being a frustration, it's a desire. To transform the energy in desire. How can I overcome it? A few years ago, I said to myself, I'm fed up of these productions, I'm fed up of building up, and I said, I want one thing. I want to record what I see. Right? You were in this situation. So I took a helmet, and I put two things on the helmet and two small cameras, and walking on the street. And I said, wow, I will have two cameras. It was ridiculous. I mean, suddenly the world started to laugh. You know, I was walking on the street and the world was laughing, looking at me like this. So I didn't solve nothing. And yesterday I was reading in the newspaper about this American filmmaker that have a glass eye. Did you read it?
No.
He have a glass eye. And people, technicians invented to him that in his eye he will have a camera. So he will walk in the street and it will record. Ah, you like it. Yeah, it record. But let's face it. This is nonsense. This is kind of a play of illusion. You know, it's like all those books that I wrote in my head. For years I'm writing books. I have the introduction, the thing, and I'm sitting. Like, a lot of us. Yeah, I'm sitting at night, smoking a joint, and I have all a book that is built up. And I said, wow, if I had a recording machine, it will be, I will just have to give it to the printer. Yeah? But it doesn't work. And now the question is, why it doesn't work like this? Why doesn't work? Because exactly the thing is that the mediation is the real issue. I mean, the question is how I move from the idea into the framing. Huh?
Is the realization or the relation?
I said the mediation.
Is the
realization.
Exactly.
Okay. The mediation is the realization. Not the thinking of if I would film with my eyes, just I will record my eyes. Because if you will record your eyes, won't be any mediation, because the eyes don't see. You see. The eyes don't see. It's the mediation of what gets into the eyes that goes to the brain. I mean, you see. And to get into this acknowledgement, which is the simple acknowledgement that I see you, maybe you don't exist, but I see you. It means that it's an objective fact for me. The question is how I mediate it into what we call video. The question is not the camera. It's a smaller camera, a bigger camera, a wide angle, small angle. You won't find the device that will annihilate mediation. The thing is the mastering of the mediation. La maîtrise, the mastering of this of the device. It's not the canceling of this device. The canceling of this device brought us to what I heard from René, kind of a permanent critique, and we share it, which is this illusion of the camera of the cinema vérité, which is we will be a fly on the wall. You know, the fly on the wall, this idea that there is no camera. But even the fly on the wall, on what wall, what high will stand? Where will be the fly? It's already a question of mediation. So it's the mastering of it, the appropriation.
In fact, we were yesterday the last course we had, we were quoting the lesson that had preceded, which was Giorgio's, and he was saying, you know, proper thought is the kind of interruption of a kind of ragionamento, no? Of a kind of reasoning or a process. It's connected. This moment of mediation is also the moment of a kind of thought. Because you were saying earlier that it's a kind of thought is not going to do it itself, but maybe that's not really thought in and of itself. You know, it's the process where you interrupt a kind of thought, that interrupt a process of seeming thought, appearing thought, an incessant process that something is happening, you know, and that's.
I said.
Like you gave the example of the streaming flow of no queste immagini che questo uomo ha questo occhio che non è vero e loro provano to put a camera eye. Mm. Questo non è.
No, because the camera eye, what? Nobody here thinks that if he will have a camera in his eye, he will walk as he's working always. He will walk with the conscience that he have a camera. So he will walk like this, right? And he will walk more slowly. He won't just behave without a camera. Even if he doesn't have to think, and even if he doesn't have to think about the fact that he have, and did I do the white balance, how many minutes are left, I don't have a battery, it's trembling, you know, all those things that are kind of the permanent thing that you say, oh, shit, I gotta finish, I don't want... So, yeah, this is what we are talking about. But I also have shit material when I'm filming. I'm also getting to a situation that I don't get what I want. But with this I'm working. With this imperfection. But not as a renunciation. Not as a renunciation. I mean, it's just a question of, as I said, a little bit more experience. I mean, I'm thinking, and there is this lapse of time, which is the interruption that suddenly the camera, the sound, being, it's not anymore what I'm looking at. Because there is an appropriation. I mean, there is an appropriation of the technique. The appropriation of the technique become your technique. I mean, when I'm doing an interview, I know to what extent, I know it from my student, to what extent, the interview is the moment of being anxious. Yeah? I have to ask good questions and this. And it took me time to learn that there is only one good question, is why. Because I realized one day with my son that when he's asking me why, right, why there are clouds, why the helicopter have the So I think there are clouds because of this, the accumulation of steam, and why there is steam, and so I have to explain. So I understood that there is only one intelligent question to ask. Why? There is, you're sitting in front of somebody, and you speak, and you ask him, why? So we start to try to ask. So he have the first speech, which is the speech to the camera, and then, and there is a moment that he start to think. And it's much more easier, you are less anxious when you're asking why, when you're sitting and you're asking, yeah, in 1919, end of November, you said that, and in the text of Foucault, it's written that, you start to construct, you get anxious. And suddenly you see the camera, and you see the device, and you see the person that is anxious and all this. This is the appropriation also. And it's to know that you are filming for editing, that you are collecting material for editing, that it's not a final work. The filming is a moment of gathering, and then you will watch, and then you will digitalize, and then you will organize, and then you will edit. But you know the process. So you think, what I'm filming, how I will call it, how I will organize, and then you don't forget in the end of a shot to leave the person, to let them out of the frame, because you are thinking for the editing. And you don't forget in the end of an interview to ask silence 2 minutes and to have just a room tone. Why? Because you know that if you want to cut inside the interview and to take out the questions, you need sound with nothing. So you finish an interview and you said silence 2 minutes. And you record silence and you know that you have it, because you know that you are just in the process of doing. It's not the final moment. You are in the building up. So you are doing with, despite the existence of the camera, not the problem. And I start to know that when I'm looking at a video camera, I'm not looking at what happens in front of the camera, I'm looking at on TV. Because I have a small TV inside, or I have this screen. So I'm not looking. So the thing is, I don't forget to look over the TV. I don't have a relation just to me speaking. I'm looking over. Yesterday were students coming to film me because, I don't know, they're making a thing about the Department of Media in my university, and they wanted filming some teachers. So they put the camera, and there was the guy that was asking me question, he was on the side. So I asked him, where do you want me to look? He said, just look in between. So I said, so sit in between. So I will look at you. Or you want me to speak to the camera? I will speak to the camera. But I, from my position, just because of experience, but really nothing, no slice of intelligence, just experience, I can realize how it will look when I will become spectator of that image on the editing floor. I want to give the impression that the person is speaking as close to the camera. I'm just sitting close to the camera. And then I don't find myself in the editing room asking, but why the person is looking to the right.
After the editing and
you can speak in Italian if you feel more comfortable.
Dopo, alla fine del film, quando riguardi il film, ti senti ancora spettatore o ti senti... No, non ti senti dentro.
when I look at my films, it depends, it's a relation of time. When time passes and I look at my films, I see just my mistakes. I see just what I didn't achieve to do. But this is after time. It takes me time. When I look at my films, when it's finished, you know, immediately, or I'm not talking in the process, but let's take, for example, the first time that I see the specialist publicly. I see it publicly. In Berlin Film Festival, 18 meters screen, huge, 1,800 people in the auditorium. I see the film. I just realized that I cannot see nothing. It doesn't look to me at all as something that I belong to. But when I look at it immediately after the process of working, not in this situation, which is a public situation, when I'm looking at it as in the process of working, I mean, in the very end, when there is a scene, okay, let's see the first copy, total spectator, as much as possible, trying even to condition myself to be a spectator. Not to be in the mind of another spectator. It's not to imagine what somebody else will see. But to be in this spectatorship relation. Believing somehow that if it works for me, it's intelligible. Not intelligent, intelligible. Intelligibile.
Dopo che hai visto e rivisto, per fare un film che ci vuole tantissimo tempo e rivedi le stesse immagini per un sacco di volte, ti senti come quando ripeti una parola per tantissimo tempo e perde il significato, o vedi
il contrario?
Il
contrario, the contrary. This is what I tried to say before, between impression and affection. Mm-hmm. I mean, affection is that moment that I cannot stand it anymore. I just hear sound this moment that you just no. No, I hear it exactly, I see it exactly, I give to it meaning while watching it. The contrary, it becomes this sentence and not another. This image, I mean, when I'm saying the specialist or I love you all, 192,000 images, is because for me it's 192,000 images. It's those and not others. It's not, how do you say in English or in Italian, par défaut? C'est pas parce que je n'ai pas le choix que j'ai cette image-là.
Par défaut, c'est par chance?
Par défaut, c'est
le... Par défaut,
yeah, I mean, just because no choice. I don't have a shot there because I have no choice. It's this shot and it's not another one. It's a relation to it's this word and it's not another word. I mean, you say in Italian plastilina. It's plastilina. I'm forcing it to be this and it's not another one. What we are talking here, it's our kitchen. We're talking about kitchen. Yeah? But everybody knows that if you don't have tomato sauce, you won't put carrot sauce to make a pasta bolognese, right? So it's tomato sauce and you will get it, and I mean, if not, you won't do it. And it's this and it's not another one. It's important. It's important because it's the process of realization. This is the process of realization. Why you choose in 360 hours this moment? Because one shot, I mean, this is not me, this is Godard, taught us, and thanks to Godard, it's one shot next to another shot creates a third image. And it's this third image that is linked to the shot that after. It means that the two shots, I have one shot and another shot, and here there is something that is created. And this image will be the one that will be linked to the next cut. If not, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It doesn't create this mental image that I need in order to continue. But what I'm saying, it's not a theoretical position. This is the permanent relation while the editing, while filming, while editing, while digitalizing. I don't succeed each time. I mean, maybe the moment that it will be the moment of success, it will be the moment that I will say, thanks God, I can stop. Of course that there is this permanent kind of unsatisfaction, which is not frustration.
Le riprese e attraverso un racconto ed è venuta involuta o voluta.
First of all, behind the work on the specialist and in Auslebe zum Volk, there is a position which comes from my history of making and a theoretical relation or a thinking, which is in fact that my first film, 1986, which means 20 and something years ago, 23 years ago, was about refugee camp, Palestinian refugee camp. And it was quite a classical documentary, which was to try to reconstruct a day in the in a refugee camp. So there were refugees speaking, and it was already at that moment, I mean, and despite the white beard, I'm young, I am young, yeah. There was something about the attempt to construct time. You know, what will be the time that the film is called Aqaba Jabr, which is the name of the refugee camp, and the undertitle is Passing Through, which was an attempt to define a time which is between life and survival. Passing through this suspension of time. just passing through. Vita de passaggio in Italian. But out of that film, which maybe have its qualities, and because of a discourse, a critical discourse on notion of memory and witnessing and a lot of reflection they had, I started to think about this incredible, leave aside the word incredible, about the history of documentary making. Which is the history of documentary making, if we think, is under the ideology of the otherness, l'altre. What is documentary filmmaking? Is going to see the other. Yeah, the first one, what is it? It's Flaherty, right? He's going to see the
Nanook.
Yeah? He's going to see Nanook. And documentary filmmaking is, and the field that is dealing is, we see the other. Poor, suffering people, prostitution, abusing, there is this charity act. There is this thing of giving voice to the other, giving voice to the ones that don't have, etc., etc. Which means there is a history of victimhood in documentary. Il vittimi, the victims, are the main figure of the documentary. If the question is, when I showed you before my paper, that whatever there is means that something was hidden, we can tell also the history of documentary making or making with reality as the history of hiding the perpetrator. If what we see is victims, what we see is victims. So the history of documentary is hiding perpetrators. Perpetrators?
Carnefici.
Hiding?
Le persone che hanno colpe e che fanno questo crime, no? Che creano, that made
the crime. È la storia di hiding,
è la
storia di nascondere il persone che faccia il crime. Okay. I did it? Okay. This could be the history of documentary, of hiding criminals. Yeah? We look at most of the genres, documentary, in hospital, in emergency, in jails, and what there is behind. And when there is dealing with perpetrators or criminals, it's the institutions that are not incarnated. Wiseman, it's the institution. For those who know Frederick Wiseman.
Sì, abbiamo visto high school.
High school. Yeah, think about high school. Okay. I didn't forget your question.
Huh?
No.
I'm coming to your. I'm just saying that I'm in your question. So I started to think in a moment, because of my point from where I'm looking, as Israeli, belonging to a criminal system, because of the manipulation, the use of victimhood in Israeli society, committing crimes in the name of being a victim in the past, etc. So also this, but also being men, male. So I started to think about, if this is what I believe, the history of documentary, or the way that I narrate history of documentary, it means that the victim has a function, un funzione. A function of spectatorship to the spectator. What is this function of the spectator? Is when I look at the victim, this is my hypothesis of work. When I go to church, what there is just in front? What there is just on the wall in a church? The crucified. What is the crucified? A victim. He's suffering. Why he's suffering? For me. Right? He's suffering for me. And if he's suffering for me, he is good. He is always good. He is suffering for me. And if he's suffering for me, what I feel for him? La compassion. Compassion. And if I'm able to feel compassion, it means that I'm a human being. And if I'm a human being, I'm on the good. I'm on the good side. Because I'm a human being, because I'm able to feel compassion. Okay? The victim status is the one that gives me the affirmation that I'm human. He suffers and I'm human. In fact, I realize through thinking that the function of the victim in the Christian tradition and in the post-Christian tradition, what we call this completely fake construction, which is Judeo-Christianism, is the redemption of the spectator. To redeem the spectator. La redenzione del spettatore. Why? Because the spectators feel human. Hiding the perpetrator is the possibility to redeem spectatorship. Well, both the Eichmann film, The Specialist, and I Love You All, is in fact an inversion. It's to put in the center of the screen, not the victim, the perpetrator. Which means it's to cancel the relation of redemption of spectatorship and to bring the question of responsibility. Who am I facing the perpetrator? Who am I facing the perpetrator? It's not a salvation. It's not a redemption. It is the questioning. Okay? To put up questioning, which means by redeeming the perpetrator's discourse, I redeem it from the silence that there is behind a victim, there is a perpetrator. Right? I redeem him from the silence, I put him in the front, and then the relation is not anymore the relation of salvation, of redeeming of the spectator, it's the interrogation. Who am I in that relation? So in fact, the two films, coming back now after a big tour to your question, it's part of a permanent work about perpetrators. And part of the construction of seeing that perpetrator is an actor that have a regime of justification. Regimini de giustificazione. That is never, I like to do bad. I like evil. I like to do good. I'm doing it for the good. And it's the relation to goodness which makes Eichmann and the Stasi person similar figures. One is doing, and both are idealistic person. The ideal of Eichmann is the guild work. The ideal of Mr. B is through good work to do good for society. But in fact, is also raising the suspicion about discourse of goodness, what we call today humanitarian discourse. Il discorso umanitario.
Scusa, ti dispiacerebbe ripetere brevemente il discorso sulla redenzione di uno spettatore che vede la vittima nel documentario, anche il collegamento con il cristianesimo, brevemente.
Once again.
Sì,
ok.
Grazie.
Let's do it again. I will start with the church, because it's important. It's the iconic permanent figure of the victim. Okay, we have a victim. We have an image of a victim. He's suffering. He's bleeding from his hand. Sometimes he have that like this. Sometimes he have tears. Okay. Anyway, this figure is suffering. We can talk after. I mean, it's a Jew that is suffering, but this is secondary. Okay, in this moment. Yeah? It's a other that is suffering, right? It's not me that is suffering. El Ebrei. So he's another, the other. Okay, he's a suffering figure. He's Zang. You see his body. This suffering. He's suffering for me. The idea is that he's suffering for me. And when I look at this suffering figure as a spectator, because this is the situation, the primal situation of spectatorship. He's always higher than me, I'm looking straight there, I'm down in the church, okay? The feeling which is demanded is the feeling of the sentiment of compassion. I have compassion to his suffering. So, classical Christian discourse, if this exists, is talking about this is the redemption. Yeah? The redemption is the feeling of compassion. I'm saying more than that. I'm saying if I am able to feel compassion, if I have the capacity to feel compassion, so it gives me the affirmation that I'm human. Sono umano. And if I'm human, I'm not evil, I'm not animal. I'm human. I am able to feel compassion. And I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. While the perpetrator, he doesn't give me this function of redemption, because I cannot feel compassion. So I'm in a relation, a mirror relation. If he is in the center and I'm there, who am I if he is the perpetrator? I mean, victim, to face the victim. In a way, we'll say, I mean, in a banal way, it's an easy relation. To face the perpetrator, it's an unease relation.
Secondo te chi ha cominciato a fare questi documentari? Nel senso, adesso sicuramente è così questa situazione, penso io. Però cioè, non penso che all'inizio, almeno spero, sia stata fatta con questa intenzione, forse, o forse anche sì. Però a parte questo, cioè a parte l'intenzione che magari non era, cioè il fatto che poi si sia tramutato in questo, non so, fa pensare che appunto sia veramente difficile comunque riuscire a fare magari un documentario che poi non si riveli tutto, cioè qualcosa di totalmente sì, che appunto metta in una posizione di comodo lo spettatore. Per questo infatti appunto, cioè, complimenti. Io non ho visto il film, però ho sentito parlare, cioè mi sento di dire proprio complimenti, perché vuol dire c'è una posizione molto difficile. E praticamente, per esempio, per dire, piuttosto io sarei dell'idea di non fare proprio niente, punto. Però ovviamente, cioè, mi rendo conto che infatti io sono una persona più astratta.
No, no. We should talk more about what you said in the end. No, no. But it's very interesting. I mean, I would like to laugh, but I'm not laughing, because I think that you're saying something which is very important. I mean, what is the function of not doing as a resistance? I mean, instead of concluding that this is just a result of frustration, can we empower it and think it as a resistance? I mean, not doing can be resistance. Can be resistance to the permanent movement of fabrication, production. But it should be thought like this. It's not just, I'm not doing, and when I ask you what you are not doing, you say, oh, I'm resisting. No, no, it doesn't work like this, okay? This is one point. But when you're asking, if I understood well, why the documentary started like this, where it started like this, right? This is what you were asking.
Sì, perché io,
Is it was a Machiavellic idea? No. I think that there we have to look about another element that we usually put aside because it doesn't sound so good. Class issue. Who are the filmmakers? Where they're coming from? The class notion is an important one. When is the moment that the camera turns and the filmmakers start to film the place where they are coming from? I mean, I am in a struggle within my university. I'm teaching in the university which is the biggest conglomeration of immigration in Europe. 85% of our students are non-white. 85%. 80% of our students are from different non-Christian origins. Okay? It's a real what is called in American language multicultural university. And we have those leftist teachers that are saying all the time to the student, make films about your community, film your environment, that very poor environment, the student. And I'm struggling because I want that my students will go and will film white people. Because I'm interested, I'm interested in inversing that movement, which is that white people are going to Africa, it's normal. But Africans shooting in white countries, they have to do films about immigration. They have to do films about discrimination. Okay, so there is a question of class from the very beginning, not a Machiavellic idea, not only Christian ideology behind it. I mean, of course there is this idea of redemption through work, which is the Protestant basic idea, and we have to think about what is the relation between Industrial Revolution, secularism, and invention of cinema. Okay, there is this thing. Yeah? What is this thing of secularization through icon, which is cinema? Okay, this is one. But there is a class issue. There is a class issue. Filmmakers, in the history, of the beginning of the history of filmmaking, this is a bourgeois work. And it's the bourgeois that is proposing a scene to the others to speak. It's it's what Laura Mulvey calls the male gaze. It's male masculines that are giving the possibility to women to speak. Okay, so we should contextualize it within a class question. The ideology of otherness, before it was called la ideologia dell'altri, is a practice. Saint Vincent, Santo Vincente, Vincenzo, he is the one that is going to the others, to the poor, to the ones that are
lebrosi.
Okay. This humanitarian action, it's different from solidarity, which is solidarity is among class. We are in the 20s when flaherty is gone. We are in this idea, the first films, the first documentaries, the Lumière, okay, which are documentaries, is going to the far countries, going to the East. The relation between Orientalism and cinema. It's within this that what was the function? Well, the function of cinema, documentary cinema, in the colonial process, documentary in anthropology. How the documentary constructs anthropological relation, tribes, filming tribes, right? So it's not Machiavellic, it's not that we were sitting and saying how we will have victims in order to redeem the spectators. No. The thing that the camera doesn't turn on us. The camera looks towards the other.
Maybe I will just intervene and we can think about whether we take a break or not, but Marijavana sort of asked me to reflect back on the issue of affect or sensation and interpretation, and also I think it comes to a form more interestingly for us to think about a process and the relation between your question, why, and maybe I would propose a Deleuzian approach of how as a question. And I think, because I find how also maybe has been for my own work the most productive question. How does it work? How can I use it? And I think in just to give like a minute to that idea, it's this moment that you're describing of a spectatorship that is a kind of, that you want to impress upon them something that they walk away with and then they think or consider. It can also be a moment, and I think this is what, that's why I don't think it's a question of disagreeing really, because that there can be another time for that. It's more about finding a way for you to create a kind of ethics. Because in a way, that's, you've been talking about that, even though the word never came up. And I think it's we're all searching for a kind of way of how to do something, how to articulate how to find a voice, how to kind of form a kind of language of our own. And, you know, the idea of this proposition of the importance of also this moment of sensation, of seeing something as a spectator, and that thing can inform, that informs the way you see. The idea of that you were proposing, which I think is also very interesting, is that something happens, it impresses something upon you, and then there's a moment of reflection and thinking afterwards, after you've left. And, well, Deleuze, for instance, proposes that, you know, in the kind of relation to the moment of spectatorship of a work, that tries to go directly to that experience of sensation, of being in front of something, and is that there is a kind of a pedagogical moment in a way, which is it shows you how to see differently. So that you see differently, if you know. So I don't know. I think it could be a very like interesting conversation to get into the problematics of it, but I just, you know, if I wanted to make like an abbreviated intervention to say that's, I don't know if that's fascistic, you know, to think that that's because there's no kind of moment of interrogation by the viewer of the image, then that's kind of a manipulation of the viewer and their affect. I don't think that's the call. In fact, you know, he's talking about, for instance, when he's talking about Francis Bacon, he's talking about the photograph, and I've repeated it several times this year, as a kind of regime of vision. And so Bacon's intervention within that, right, in his paintings, he argues, is another way of seeing, an argument for seeing, actually, again, a different way. So, I don't think I've, within my own work, I've necessarily digested that argument. But since we've brought it up this year, I'm kind of still chewing on it. So, and that's why I come back to use, and somehow I do think it relates to why and how. And I don't think that it's about putting one question and saying, well, I argue for sure this is the best, because it's about finding also your own ethics in a way, which is outside the law. You know, it's not going to be written. You're kind of in an open field where you're discovering for yourself how you will approach something and the world. So I don't know if what I've said is kind of helpful or makes any sense, but maybe I can stop there.
Yeah, you helped me to, you remind me through this kind of, first of all, I don't think that there is, as Maria Giovanna insinuated, that there is a real kind of contradiction or opposition. I think that to the question of the how to, is fundamental. And for those who read, I think that you had some reading, and there is the chapter of my book with Ronnie Broman, Elogio della Desobedienza. There is a fourth chapter which is called Montaggio e Verità, or Verità e Montaggio. And I think that it said clearly, there is a sentence that said clearly about an ethic of practice. And I'm talking about something which is what I call the visible scissors. You remember?
Scissor.
visibile. How you say scissors?
La forbice.
Forbice visibile. Which I'm saying, yes, the vis, everything is manipulated, right? Including spectators' affection. It means, but there is the tool inside what is visible, there is the tool to say, this is manipulation. It means that the scissors are visible. You see that it's edited. It doesn't try to hide the fact that it's edited. It doesn't hiding the construction. It's there. The construction, the fact is, what is the first image of the empty sits in the film is we are in cinema. And I realized it took me many years to realize that first it was intuition. And then, as being spectator of my own film, I realized that all my film starts like this, saying, we are in the cinema. My very first film starts with a scene. I mean, we hear three knocks on the door. I think that I have three knocks on the door, on a door, wood door. The screen opens and there is a man knocking three times more. There's an old man coming out from a hut. And the man that is in the entrance saying to me, the old man saying, what do you want? He said, they are making a film. What? They are making a film. The name of the film is this and this. Start. And then I did another film, my second film, which is called Slaves to Memory. And I'm sitting in front of a philosopher. It's the prologue. And I'm saying to him, do you think that this film should be done? And he is answering something. And then I did my third film. And like this. And I realized that it became kind of a need, a permission, a self-permission for me. In the moment that I opening by saying, we're talking about what you're going to see, it's a film, it's a permissive thing. Which means, of course, what René is saying is fundamental. It's how you create during the process of work an ethic which is outside law here, and it's in fact the ethics of research. Right? The ethics of research, which is the total opposite of those horrible manuals that you have in all the universities, which are called ethics of research. What you should do, what you should not do, what else. This stupid thing that today there is in all the documentary cinema, and it came to us from America, that you have to make people to sign release, right? That they will say, I accept that my image will be used,
The libero.
Yeah. Today everybody is saying, sign releases the people. In fact, the only release which is valuable is the one which is recorded, which is inherent to the relation. Codes of ethics, but this you know. I mean, codes of ethics are against the establishment of personal ethics, right? Code of ethics, it's everything. It's a code, it's not ethics. Codes of ethics are codes, are not ethics.
Forse facciamo non una pausa, una rottura, nel senso che forse la prossima.
You're gonna look images?
Sì. E anche tutti hanno portato qualcosa, possiamo forse parlare sulle questi. No, I think we had a kind of formula in terms of the what you were talking about, the materials that you bring and that process and that relation. So maybe we can, rather than talk about it, look at the materials and then begin.
Now that we finished to do practice, let's pass to the theory and start to look at the images.
So let's do a short pause, okay?
Let's smoke a cigarette.